so that my eyes are not running all over the place. Okay, great. Thank God for God. Amen. Exciting to be in church. So are you in pain now? So let's agree to get rid of that right away, isn't it? So let's just agree. So just agree with us. Everybody stay in a mode of prayer. Let's agree and get rid of that. Let's just believe God for that pain to completely go. Why? Because God is real. God is real. His word is real. His presence is real. This is not make-believe. Amen. And he said what, that where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there. He's everywhere, actually, you know. But when he says he's there, it's for emphasis. It means that he's there and manifestly present, meaning he makes himself visible. How does he do that? 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that the manifestations of the Spirit are, what is that? The making visible of the Holy Spirit. He makes himself visible by those gifts, those manifestations that we talk about, including the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, and all of that. So, Father, we trust you for a complete healing. Is that pain? Is it pain you can check? Okay. Difficult to breathe. You can't turn. So you can't turn like that and look at Natalia. Yes. Okay. So you believe that that can disappear. So Father, thank you. Thank you for a flow of your power right through her. We rebuke the sickness, the pain, we command it to go by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Thank you because the breathing is restored, muscles relax, everything is restored perfectly to normal by the power of God. Yeah, that's it. Just went right through you. Just went right through you. Went right through you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Increase that flow, that voltage, there, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Increase that voltage. Let it go right through her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, making her every bit whole, even better than before. Even better than before. Even better than before. Even better than before. Even better than the full. Increase that voltage. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Thank you, 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 thank you. It's like drug dosage. So I'm just letting her take the full dosage. Just letting her take the full dosage. Just lay her down gently. Lay her down gently. Lay her down gently. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I command that pain to cease. I command it to cease. Command it to cease. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's made every bit whole. Every bit whole. Every bit whole. We give you praise. 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 We give you praise, Lord Jesus. Thank you. 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 Okay, so now let's pull out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So how is that now? Any better? You're turning better than before. You're turning better than before. Yeah. Yeah. So the beginning of, like Billy Buck would say, the beginning of a disease is the presence of a symptom like pain. So the beginning of a healing is the disappearance. As that pain begins to go, it tells you that something is happening. You hold with your left hand. Father, thank you. Yeah. Absolute healing. Complete healing. Jesus prayed for a blind man. The man said, I see men as trees. He laid hands upon him again. And the man said, I see clearly. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. So let it be the seen clearly kind of miracle. The seen clearly kind of miracle.
Be healed
by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Lay her down gently. Just lay her down gently. Yeah, lay her down gently. Help her to sit gently. Help her to sit gently. The power of God will keep walking in her. We'll keep walking in her. Keep walking in her. We'll keep walking in her. Open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 4. Help her sit gently. But it's not over. The power of God is still all over you. It's still all over you. And it will keep walking right through you. It will keep flowing right through you through the service. Through the service. It will just keep going up and down. That back, that spine, it will keep walking right through you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is it better still? Even better than better that was better before. Eh? It's better. So can you sit or look behind you? Don't look with fear. Look with faith. You can catch her small, but you couldn't catch her at all before. Catch her from the other side. Eh? It's just small that remains. Eh? Okay. Don't worry. The power of God is still at work in you. It's still at work. So it's getting better. Just every time it comes to your mind like that, just say, Father, thank you because your power is working in me, causing a complete healing and a cure. Thank you, Lord, because the power of God is at work in me. Thank you because the power of God is at work in me. So it's getting better. It's getting better and better. Mark chapter 4. Have you found it? Mark chapter 4. I want to talk about parables and principles, you know, this evening. Parables and principles. And Mark chapter 4 is it's where God put on my mind. But Jesus said, or he told certain parables. Parables are stories. You know, when we're young, we tell stories. You know, and they use the stories to tell us, to teach us life's lessons, to teach us principles. We knew so many stories about Ijapa. You know, that's the tortoise, and his wife, Yanibo. You know, we learned so many stories about them. And he was a cunning fellow, you know, and they tell us stories about how he escaped, how the king was going to kill him, and how he deceived the king to say, look, it's a monkey, you know. He's remembered the story now. So that's gone off. It's gone very low or something. You touched something earlier. You are trying to reduce it. I'm shouting. You want me to lose my voice instead? So take it up a little bit. Thank you. So what you get is that if you look in Mark chapter 4, Jesus told a number of stories, a number of parables throughout his lifetime. He told those parables in order to teach and ensure that people would remember what he was saying. There were one or two things or one or two times that he told certain stories that were not parables. When he told about the rich man and Lazarus, for instance, it was not a parable. You know, but people got so used to Jesus telling parables that a lot of people assumed that every story was a parable. But when he came to that one, he didn't. It was not a parable. He said there was a certain rich man. So it wasn't just a story to teach a lesson. It was an actual event, okay? And he told the story of that rich man and the poor man called Lazarus, and the fact that the poor man would sit at the rich man's gate waiting for a little crumb, and he was treated badly, and both of them died, blah, blah, blah. The rich man ended up in hell. Lazarus ended up in Abraham's bosom, you know. So, but again, that was a real event, okay? But in Mark chapter 4, he told certain parables that were very, very key, very important. As a matter of fact, what you'll find in Mark chapter 4 is that Jesus told three key parables, okay? One of them is the parable of the sower. He told a parable of a growing seed, and then he told the parable of the mustard seed. For the last two parables that I mentioned, He started off by saying the kingdom of God is like. Okay, trying to tell you that this is the operation of the kingdom. But the parable of the sower, he actually told us, he said, if you don't understand this one, then you can't understand all the others. Okay, meaning that all three parables are about how this kingdom operates. And that means that if you are thinking about functioning effectively in God's kingdom as God's child, then you'll have to study what he said in Mark chapter 4 very well. I hope that is very clear. It means that you have to take it very seriously. Don't glide over it. Don't joke about it. But take your time to understand what is he saying. Okay? One of the reasons why you need to is because we have a background, okay? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 tells us that he has delivered us from the grip of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Okay, here one says he delivered us from the grip. One says he delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. My emphasis is the fact that he transferred us into the kingdom. So when we got saved, what happened to us is that we were migrated into a new kingdom. And if you were moved into a new kingdom, you'll have to learn how things work in that kingdom. So one of the issues with migration, for instance, is that people have to learn how things work in that new kingdom where you may have found yourself. I've told the story before how it said that, you know, that somebody was driving, and as he drove, he went right through a red light. You know, he was in the UK and drove right through the red light, and the police siren came on and they stopped him. And when they stopped him, they said, "You were speeding, and you went through the red light." He said, "Yes." They said, "You saw the red light and you went right through." He said, "Yes." And I said, "What? Don't you think that is wrong?" He said, "No." He said, "Because where I come from, red means go, and green means stop." You know, so. Well, you know that it doesn't matter where you come from. Are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is that where you are, you will have to know what applies in that kingdom. And one of the big problems we have had as believers is that we are trying to operate with agbari. You know, agbari. Agbari means we just use common sense. We just use braggado. We just, you know, we people get born again and they don't try to learn, you know, how do things work in this kingdom? How do things work with God? How does it happen that I can be a proper Christian? I can be an effective disciple. What do I need to know? How does God, you know, when he said in Psalm 103 verse 7, for instance, he said Moses knew the ways of God, but the children of Israel knew the acts of God. So the problem with that is that they only knew the acts and they did not understand the ways. But Moses could command the acts of God because he knew the ways of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because he knew the ways of God, he understood God, he knew the principles of God, he knew how God functioned, then he could command the acts of God. He could make things happen because he understood God. Now, you can have accidents, faith accidents, miracle accidents in the body, but that's because you do not understand the ways of God. So, for instance, thank God for her testimony today, and she talked about the fact that she was applying God's word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those are the best testimonies ever when people talk about the application of God's word. Why? Because that means that they understand how things work in this kingdom. Can I have an amen? So let's read Mark chapter 4. And I think we'll just read, maybe we'll deal with the parable of the sower. I'm looking at time. But let's read Mark chapter 4. Have you found it yet? If you haven't found it, you are not likely to. Since I called it, then you are not likely to find it. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 verse 1. And again, I know that's why Sister Amy wants to reduce the volume. But you know, sometimes when you do that, it wakes people up. You know, they're drifting off to sleep. And again! Hallelujah. That's a recognition of the fact that you are tired. Amen. But that's okay. Hallelujah. It says, and again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, actually how he said it was, listen, okay, he has an exclamation mark, Abby. Listen, listen. So he meant business. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where he did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. Amen. Now, verse 11 was what I was referring to earlier, where he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. No, not this one, sorry. That's verse 13 that I referred to earlier. Because the disciples then came to him, and they said what? They asked him, and they said, look, what does this parable mean? So we'll read from verse 13 to verse 20 now. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, verse 18, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones, verse 20, sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. Good. Now, in interpreting it or in looking at it, what he's saying to us basically are this. Remember, we're talking about parables and principles of the kingdom of God. What is he saying to us? Or what was Jesus trying to teach? He was trying to teach that everything, number one, everything in this kingdom works by God's word. Everything. Can I hear you say everything? Everything. In this kingdom works by God's word. It means that if you are going to get anything, all of your productivity, all of your, all of your increase, all of your fruits, all of your whatever you are going to get in life, in this kingdom, works by God's word. You will not get it outside of knowing God's word, outside of acting upon God's word. Can I have an amen? If you are a believer that has not decided that the Bible is going to be your watchword, then your fruitfulness in this kingdom will be limited. Okay? And all he said in that place was to tell you how to make the word of God work for you. Okay? So those three or four categories, he said the sower went to sow the word. Basically, he was saying what God sows or what is sown or what brings the increase of 30-fold, brings the increase of 60-fold, brings the increase of 100-fold into our lives is God's word. Very early on, becoming a believer, getting born again, I made up my mind that that Bible has to be read by me. Has to be read by me, for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not thinking of, I was far away from being a preacher or anything, but I said to myself that because I saw people who seemed to know God, who seemed to walk with God, who referred to how they acted upon God's word and how that changed their life, how that brought results in their life, and I told myself that that same book is available to me. It's mine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And one of the very first assignment I have is to know it in toto, as we used to say. So we used to go to an Orthodox church. And I didn't think they taught much of the Bible. I've said it before, we'll go more with the hymn book was more of a serious thing we carried than the Bible. So when we're going to church, we'll carry like 5 to 7 hymn books and 1 Bible. Everybody needed to have their own hymn book, but the Bible, it doesn't matter. My parents will take the Bible with them to share, you know, in the main auditorium. We will sit in the extension. Whether the main auditorium was full or not, we didn't even check. We didn't check it. We didn't care. As we arrived, we parted ways. They go inside, we go outside. You know, but you all go with your hymn books, and we didn't take a Bible. Okay, and when they spoke, there was a lot of philosophy, there was a lot of talking, there was a lot of reference to newspaper reports and what's going on in the news, but there wasn't a lot of Bible teaching. Are you there? But when I got saved and I began to see people who were acting on God's word, I knew they were different. I knew their Christianity was different. I mean, we got a bit exposed to Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship and all that. I knew these were a different set of people. So I said to myself, that Bible, I have to read it. So I started reading the Bible for myself. I began to read that Bible. And when we would go to church, I would carry at least a New Testament Bible. You know, those small New Testament Gideon's Bible. My dad was an executive with the Gideon's in Oyo State then. And he was one of those who would distribute Gideon's Bibles all over the place. So we had Gideon's Bible at home. So I always had that one, that at least that New Testament one. And we used to make fun. There was the full Bible and there was the New Testament version. And they were in different colors. They had the white that they gave to medical people. They had the blue they gave to students, you know, and all of that. They just gave out all over the place. And when people carried the small one, we call it a, you know, they said the word of God is the sword of the spirit. But we call that one the knife of the spirit. If you carry New Testament, we say you are carrying the knife of the spirit. If you carry the full one, we say, hey, that's the real sword. Hallelujah. But I made up my mind and I read it. And I began to read it and I'll read it and I'll read it from beginning to the end. On Sunday, I'll take the New Testament, but I started from reading the New Testament and I moved to reading Genesis to Revelation every year. Every year, I will start from Genesis and I will end in Revelations in December. And many people will ask me and say, over the years, people will ask and say, how should I read the Bible? And I say, how do you read a book? It's the only book in the world that people ask you, how do you read it? Isn't it? It's a very interesting question. If you give them any other book, they don't ask you, how should I read it? But if you give them the Bible, they say, how should I read the Bible? I say, it's a book now. Read. But if you are very young in Christ and you are still, I say, okay, start from the New Testament. Enjoy the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John stories, and then move on to understanding who you are in Christ. Are you with me? But what that does is that it begins to deliver to you the promises of God. That's why he said that at the end of the day, those 4 categories, that's what he's talking about. Remember, we're talking about parables and principles. Those 4 categories, that's what it's about. That's all every category in the parable of the sower is about, is how to get the word of God to work for you, to produce for you. Are you with me? And if you read that parable, so it talks about what category 1, he said is the guy that it fell by the wayside and the birds of the air came and picked it. How did Jesus interpret that? He said those are the people that hear. If you go to Matthew chapter 13, you'll find the parable of the sower there. You go to Luke chapter 8, you'll find the parable of the sower there. But how he interprets it, I like Matthew 13 to refer to that first category. And what I said to people is this, what he was showing us was that if I can deal with all the first category issues, first 3 category issues, then you'll be number 4 category, which is the one that produced 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. Deal with all of the issues that he points out in the first 3. Okay? And what are the first 3? Number 1, he says that he's the one that fell by the wayside, the birds picked up. How did he interpret that in Matthew chapter 13? He said, those that hear the word and do not understand it. Okay, so you remember the book of Proverbs. It said, in all you're getting, get what? Understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So what does that mean? It means that I have to get a Bible that I can understand. It means that I have to refer to different versions. That's why we look at different versions of a Bible, so that we can understand what is it saying. When you read a certain verse and it looks like it strikes you, and you're thinking, ah, that verse, it means something. Take the time. Don't be in a hurry. Don't rush over it. Don't gloss over it. Don't assume. But stay there and check the other translations and see. Check 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 translations and see. What does that place really mean? Why? Because understanding is important. Can I hear you say understanding? So if you are reading the Old King James and you don't understand it, but you think that that's the one that Paul read, you think this is the Bible that Paul read, it was King James. I can't use any other one. By the way, Paul didn't read any Bible. Okay, I'm so that somebody doesn't go away. Paul didn't read any Bible. Okay. But I'm just saying that people think the D, the Dows, and all of that sounds like God. Okay? And some of us actually grew up reading that, and we're used to it. So, in fact, many times I'm referring to a verse, and what I'm quoting in my head is the Old King James. Even though I've stopped reading it for a few years, I'm reading the New King James. But the Old King James, because I read it for so many years, is the one that actually still sticks and comes in my mind. Even tonight when Pastor Enwe was talking about which verse now? Proverbs 4:23. Is the Old King James that was in my head. You heard me? That I was quoting the Old King James, even though that's not what I read anymore, but it's the Old King James I was thinking of. So when he said, keep your heart, I said, oh, yes, yes, New King James, keep. But God. Amen. Hallelujah. So first category, understand it. Second category, he said, that's the one that fell on the rock and it had no roots. So there are people that don't think much on the scriptures. They read it, they hear it, but they don't meditate on it. So there's no depth in them. He says, so when they face trouble, when they face persecution and challenges, then they immediately give up. Because that word had no root inside of them. Are you with me? There's a way you meditate on God's word, but it becomes a part of you. In medicine, we talk about certain actions as reflex actions. Meaning there are actions you don't think about before you do them. Okay? So if for instance, you were walking out this door and I was standing outside and you didn't know it. And as you walked out, I said, ha! What are you going to do? Huh? You will scream. You will do what? You'll be scared. But what will you do in being scared? You freeze. Some people faint. Eh? You think possibly you might faint. Not you. Some people faint. Some people will. Eh? Some will shout back. And some will punch. I mean, even if they shout, but they will punch. And what's happening? They didn't think about it. They didn't plan it. That's a reflex action. Or if you went and you just grabbed the pot, but you didn't know it was actually hot. You just saw the pot on the fire. You didn't know somebody had just finished using it. And you thought, let me just move this pot. And you grab the pot. And what do you say? Or Sanoboa. I mean, or as you grab it, you say, ouch, 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 it's so hot, ouch. you might just drop the thing. You understand? You didn't think about it. You just did something. That's a reflex action. But what you did actually is something that has been programmed into you for long. Are you hear what I'm saying? It's something that's been programmed into your subconscious that happened. That's your reaction. So, for instance, I remember growing up, I used to be very interested in martial arts. So, believe it or not, I was a dangerous guy. You know, I used to be into martial arts, and I used to train. I had books and all that, and I used to train. So one of those nights, we were at home, and somebody was in the house. I was coming just around the corner, and she came out of the corner to scare me. She had been there waiting to scare me. They are taking the light, you know, as we say it. For those who don't know, that means that there was no electricity. In Nigeria, we understand ourselves, have we? So, but there was no electricity. Everywhere was dark. And when she did that and just came out, what I did was I screamed, but I kicked. And she screamed. Because I kicked so high that if she did not dodge, I would knock her over. Why? Something was programmed inside of me over time. Are you following me? Good. That's like meditation. Meditation programs God's word into you. You've thought about those scriptures. There are scriptures that when I study the Bible on a daily basis, they strike me. And what I do is that throughout the day, I'm trying to remember. I'm thinking about that scripture. I'm thinking about what it means. I go back, I open that verse again. Not all the chapters that I read, but I go back to that verse again. I read that verse again. I meditate on it again. I check different versions of that one verse again. Because I know God is saying something. There's juice inside this verse that I'm trying to squeeze out. And that juice is going to go deep inside of me, but it's only going to come out in the future when there's persecution, when there's trouble that requires that word, it will suddenly spring up in my heart. Are you with me? Number three, it talks about the one that fell among thorns, isn't it? And he said that's the one that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the love of other things come in and choke the word. So what's he telling me also there? He's saying that it's possible for me to love the word, it's possible for me to meditate on God's word, but yet I don't take care of all the other things that also come into my heart and crowd God's word in my heart. Do you understand that? So I can be somebody who is diligent. I'm diligent in praying. I'm diligent in studying God's word. But I am not diligent in ensuring that other things don't cramp God's word in my heart. Are you there? Sometime many years ago, I was struggling with temptations. And I was saying to God, I said, God, what's the wahala now? I'm born again. I have the life of God. Why am I struggling with this? You know, why am I struggling with this? And God said, you know what you've done? Is that you've planted God's word, or you planted the seeds. Okay, you planted the plants that you want. You planted maize. You're like a farmer. You planted everything you want. He said, but you're not taking the care to remove the weeds. Did you do any agriculture? Eh? What did they tell you about weeds? Yeah, so your maize, if it grows, it will grow, but the thing will come out like this. Then you see small, tiny grains on it that you say it grew, but this one we can't sell in the market. This one we don't know even know what to do with it. This one you can't, you know the maize that you cannot peel off the cob and cook beans. You know what I'm put inside your beans. Because it can't even come off the thing that you just, it's just there. The grains are so tiny. Why? Because something else was competing for the nutrients that maize needed to grow. That's what Jesus was talking about. Are you getting me? So there are many people also, they love God, they love God's word, they take in God's word, but they don't take enough care to ensure that the other things that are coming in don't stay in their heart. The first and foremost is what we heard of tonight. Proverbs 4:23, you guard your heart. So the very first step is that watch what else you take into your heart. So you are taking in God's word, but also watch what else you take in. But apart from that, some things still manage to sneak in. Are we? He said so. He said there was a man who sold something, and in the night, overnight, he said an enemy came and sowed tares. That's weeds, isn't it? So sometimes something sneak in. But what do? You weed them out, take them out, uproot them. Are you with me? So sometimes you are somewhere, and people are watching something, or listening to the radio, and they are hearing all kinds of stories about witches and wizards and how they destroyed people's destiny, they destroyed somebody's destiny and blah blah, and fear was entering your heart. You have to weed it, remove it, It's not just enough to plant God's word, but remove it. Deliberately take it up by the root and remove it. And say, no, in Jesus' name I refuse to fear. I do not have the spirit of fear. You are there, and then you went to your friend's party, and they are playing all kinds of music. And before you knew it, you were takasufein. Have you? You get what I'm saying? You were takasufein. The thing was entering along with his message. That is contrary to what you believe, contrary to what you want. You have to deliberately weed it out. Are you with me? So the first thing Jesus said, you are too quiet tonight. First thing he said was what? Or what he's saying to us, parables and principles, is that everything in this kingdom works by God's word. All your productivity, all your increase, all your fruitfulness comes by God's word. 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's your ability, or it's how much the word of God produces, depends on what we do. That's what he's trying to tell us. Okay? Not on the word itself. We'll say a bit more about that when we get to the parable of the growing seed, whenever we get to that. But what he's saying to us is that how much the word of God produces is not dependent on the word itself. Why? The word is powerful. The word is full of living power. So the word will work. Are you getting what I'm saying? Paul was speaking about that, and he said, look, the word was preached to us as well as to them. But the word that was preached to them is that Hebrews chapter 4 before I come to 2 Peter. Is that Hebrews 4? Is it Hebrews 4? Yes, it was. It is Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. He said, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Meaning what? We cannot be exposed to the same word, and yet it's producing for us, it's not producing for them. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That gospel, that word of God, is the power of God unto salvation. It has power. But you preach it to one, it works. You preach it to another, it doesn't work. He said, why? It's what they do with it. Are you getting me? So it's your ability. That's what the principle that the parable of the sower is trying to teach us. That's what I'm trying to say, in case you didn't get all my Turenshi or grammar and stories since morning. The summary of it is that what he's trying to tell us, parables and principles, the first principle Jesus was teaching is that everything in this kingdom comes by God's word. And it's what you do. It's what you do. It's what you do. It's what I do with God's word that matters. God's word by itself works. Are you with me? But if you don't work it, it won't work for you. Okay? Mark chapter 4 verse 24. I'm still coming to 2 Peter. That's where we're really going to read. Mark 4 verse 24. It said, take heed what you hear. It said, the measure with which you... The Amplified is what's coming to me. The measure of thought and study that you give to God's word determines the measure of virtue and power that it returns to you. Okay? And knowledge, rather. The amount of virtue and knowledge that it returns to you. So he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study. So it's how you handle it that determines what it returns to you. That's all you will find in the parable of the sower. Make sure you understand what you read. Make sure you understand what you hear. Make sure that you meditate upon it. Make sure that other things don't come in and choke God's word in your heart. Then that word will produce for you. Luke 8:18 speaks about it, and it says, take heed how you hear. Mark 4:24 says, take heed what you hear. Luke 8:18 says, take heed how you hear. You can hear it casually, and you can hear it intensely. Are you with me? So 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we'll try to wrap it up tonight. Are you still here? Did you get anything? 2 Peter chapter 1. And one of the things I've found is that there are many things that you may not teach. and you don't have to teach in church. But if you teach what I'm saying now and what Jesus said, are you hearing me? People will get by. They will know what they need to know. They will be who they need to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, if you are committed to God's word, you will get everything else. If you are committed to God's word, for instance, somebody say, we don't even pray. They are not teaching us how to pray. If you are committed to God's word, you will learn how to pray. And you will learn to pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are committed to God's word, you will learn to fast because you will find it there. If you are committed to God's word, you will discover and you will learn how to treat other people because it's there. Everything is in that word. Everything about your life as a believer starts from your commitment to God's word and finishes there too. Are you with me? Any badly behaved believer you see is just somebody who's not committed to God's word. You can take that to the bank. Any badly behaved believer you see, the person just does, is not committed to God's word. Somebody said, you mean they are not born again? No, they can be born again. But they are not committed to God's word. But anybody who's committed to God's word, if they got it wrong today, they will get it right tomorrow. Are you with me? But the years ago, you know, somebody came, we had this gentleman, I'm trying to remember his name. And we had him in fellowship many, many years ago. And one day, I got to fellowship and somebody came to meet me and said, man, I need to see you. Ah, Baba. I said, okay. He said, look, that brother, he was the head of a drama team. He said, that brother, he smokes. In fact, you know, you need to stop him. So I looked at him and I smiled. I said, no. I said, shh, don't say one word to him, and I won't either except God tells me to. I said, but that gentleman that I see is committed to God's word. He was somebody who had just been coming not too long before then. He hadn't joined for too long. I said, but he's committed to God's word. And because you can tell, you know, some people when they sit, the way they are listening, the way they are paying attention, sometimes taking notes, you can tell that this person is looking for something. This person is serious with God. Just like Acts chapter 14, when he said, you know, is it Acts 14, Paul was preaching, he said, and he saw that guy had faith to be healed. He saw something in that guy. I said, so leave him alone. I said, if he keeps coming, as he's coming now, everything will go. Everything will break. You know, and I never said a word to him. I was never led to. I didn't say a word to him. And then one day, you know, as we do, testimony, and this guy came and began to share testimony and said, you know, after I got born again and I was coming here, he said I was still, you know, hanging with my friends. I still would drink small. I would smoke small. I would do this. I was just looking at him, you know. He said, but last week, he said, my friends picked me up again and we're going out in the night, going to the club. He said, but something inside of me was so restless. He said, and as we drove around midnight, he said, we're passing a church and there was night vigil going on. I just shouted, drop me here! He said, and they just dropped me. And I went inside that church. That's where I stayed and I prayed till morning. He said, and since then, I've not been going out with them anymore. I've stopped everything I'm doing. And I started laughing. I started laughing. Why was I laughing? Because I knew God's word would do that for him. I knew he was committed to God's word. And I knew God's word would do that for him. Are you with me? 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Can I hear you say all things that pertain to life and godliness? So his divine power has given us everything that has to do with this life and has to do with being like God. Okay? How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which, so because of that knowledge, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That's the word. exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what happens to us is that when we get saved, our ability to partake of that divine nature experientially, okay, depends on our intake of the promises that he gives us in his word. Amen. So what was Jesus telling us? Well, remember, we've been talking about what parables and principles. And what we found first in the parable of the sower, we're looking at Mark chapter 4 and the parables that he told. And we're saying that he's trying to show us important things about this kingdom. And number one, the parable of the sower, he was telling us that everything works by God's word. And it's not what the word can do for you, it's what you do with God's word. Because the word by itself is powerful, living and active. Can I have an amen? Let's stand on our feet. So just take a moment, talk to God. Take a moment, talk to God about what you heard. And really just make a fresh commitment to God's word. Make a fresh commitment to God's word. Make a fresh commitment to God's word. Fresh commitment to study it, to read it, to meditate on it, to act as if it is true. Act on it like it's true. To build your life upon it. Chapter 6, he said that word, yet the person who hears the word and does them is like a wise man who built his house on a strong foundation. That's what he said, built a house on a strong foundation. So ask yourself, what are you building on? What are you building on? And what do I mean by that? What are you building every aspect of your life on? What are you building your business on? What are you building your career on? What are you building your health on? What are you building your family on? Are you just walking by wise sayings? Or are you actually standing on scriptures? Standing on scriptures and believing God's word that against all odds, these words will work for you in your business, in your family, in your career, in your relationships with people. You know, this will work for you. Father, thank you because you'll help us to recognize the power of your word and our need for it. And you help us in our commitment, you know, to feast on your word day in, day out, morning, noon, and night. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.